There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
1207 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile, live local talk over the next couple of hours. And you're a big part of the show on the text line, phone line, 343-0106. 343-0106. Hey, joining us this hour, Todd Stacey, Alabama Daily News. We'll talk with him in just a little bit. Also, things on my list for today for us to talk about here. Number one, in the state of Alabama, soon it will be a crime to misrepresent a pet as a service animal. So if you got your service llama or whatever, your service monkey, you're taking on the plane, you're making stuff up, we'll give you details of what could be happening to you. Also, Fox News poll out. Most backing gun restrictions after shootings, plus ratings for the president, are down in this Fox poll. We'll talk about that and get your reaction. First, though, let me run the audio. This ran a second ago during Westwood One News, but this, I think this is a real big deal here. And you know what? Some people will say, oh, it's a political stunt. And some people will say it's about damn time. Okay, let's get Bob Constantini from Westwood One with more on the denial for the squad to enter Israel. Okay, so we're talking about Omar and Tlaib here. Let's go to that audio from Westwood One.
President Trump providing cover for Israel to deny visas to Congresswomen Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib via a tweet. It would show great weakness if Israel allowed Representatives Omar and Tlaib to visit. They hate Israel and all Jewish people, and there is nothing that can be said or done to change their minds. In Washington, the anti-AIPAC Jewish-led organization known as J Street issued a statement condemning the Netanyahu government's move. The fact that President Trump has already tweeted out his own call for these representatives to be denied entry illustrates that this decision is motivated purely by politics and ideology, not by the interests of the state of Israel. Bob Costantini, Washington.
You know, okay, so there's groups coming out saying that it's politics and ideology. Yes, of course it's politics. What's being done when people are, talking about Israel? It's politics on both sides. AP reports this. The move to bar Representatives Rashida Tlaib of Michigan and Ilhan Omar of Minnesota from visiting the close American ally appeared to be unprecedented and marked a deep foray into Israel by Israel into America's bitterly polarized politics. AP, have you seen Israel's politics? You want to talk... Plenty polarized there, too. It is also a sharp escalation of Israel's campaign against the international boycott movement. In a statement, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said Israel is open to critics and criticism, except for those who advocate boycotts against it. Congresswomen Tlaib and Omar are leading activists in promoting the legislation of boycotts against Israel in the American Congress. That was from Netanyahu. He went on to say their itinerary from these revealed that they planned a visit whose sole objective is to strengthen the boycott against us and deny Israel's legitimacy, end quote. Now, sure, is there a political wrangling here, and it's the fact that Netanyahu and President Trump get along? Sure. But how, I mean... should Israel welcome with open arms people that make a case against them all the time, and then in addition are coming in, have an itinerary set up to bolster that push against Israel? Yes, it may be precedent setting. It may be not have happened in the past, but you can absolutely logically talk about the fact that Israel should be able to say who comes in, right? And if these people hate Israel and are moving, and not just critics, but moving to boycott Israel, then it should be the province of the prime minister to be able to say, nah, you're not coming. Israel's interior ministry said in a statement that, quote, the state of Israel respects the American Congress in the framework of the close alliance between the two countries, but it's unacceptable to allow the entrance to the country of those who wish to harm the state of Israel, especially during their visit, end quote. So there's this big backlash and everything, but why wouldn't they? Why wouldn't they? Why wouldn't the Israelis make this move? I mean, if they're coming in, if they're just going to try to bolster their case for boycott Israel, and you can agree or disagree, Americans, we don't have the same issue here, right? You can agree or disagree with this idea to boycott Israel that's pushed by some of the squad here. But it's also the absolute province of Israel to say, you know what? Take a hike. You're not welcome here. It's interesting. It's interesting. All right. We can talk about this some of the hour. I see some texts coming in. We can talk about that. But it's just that one stood out to me. It made the news there at the top of the hour, and I think you're going to hear a lot more about that throughout today, and probably rightfully so. And I think it's. I'll say this: if Israel does not have the right to say who can come and go in their country, then what nation are they? They can make that decision. You don't have to like it, but they can make that decision. All right. And a couple other things before we get to Todd Stacy. He's going to join us here in just a little bit. I want to give you a heads up one more time. Well, probably give you a couple more times during the show, but going on from 6 to 8 tonight, Five River Center on the Causeway. Okay, this is happening right there. Five River Center. I mean, you can just Google it, but it's on the Causeway. It's in Spanish Fort city limits on the east end of the Causeway. You won't see it right when you turn. You turn and go back through the road there, go back through some woods and a little sand dunage, and then you come into the parking lot there for the Five River Center. That's going to be the spot tonight for the Common Sense Campaign Tea Parties Mobile Bay Bridge Project public hearing. From 6 to 8, everybody's invited. Bring your ideas on improving the ALDOT plan for the bridge. Also bring your sense of how much the economic burden of $90 a month will be on you and your family. They also said here, it is not a complaint fest. If you just want to come complain, send your complaints to Governor Ivey, but come out tonight with ideas. Everybody's going to have an opportunity to fill out a 3x5 card with your ideas on how to improve the bridge plan and how badly you'll be affected by the $90 a month toll. And that's, of course, per vehicle. And then you'll write that down on a 3x5 card. They will screen the cards before the program begins and then call individuals forward to a microphone where you'll have 3 minutes to deliver your comments. They'll have a timekeeper there that warns you when you have 30 seconds left. And then at the end of 30 seconds, a big shepherd's crook comes out from the side of the stage and Okay, well, I just made that up. But the 30 seconds left, they'll give you a warning there. So you got 3 minutes to talk tonight. That means it'll move along fairly quickly. That's a good thing. 6 to 8 tonight at the Five River Center on the Causeway. I know you have quite a few politicos, I think, are already planning to be there. I imagine there'll be a whole bunch of them there, and a lot of folks from Mobile and Baldwin County, I'm sure, to come out and talk about this and come up with, you've come up with the ideas, but bring the ideas in front of everybody else, have them discussed, and maybe these are things that can move forward with changing the trajectory we're on with a $6 toll for the I-10 Mobile River Bridge and the Wallace Tunnel and the Bayway. All right, 1215 FM Talk 106.5. Coming right back, Todd Stacy, Alabama Daily News, joins us. Lots to talk about with Todd. Y'all stay close.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. Text line's open at 343-0106, 343-0106. Reminder, tonight, 6 to 8 on the Causeway, Common Sense Campaign Tea Party. and the invitation to the public to come out to the hearing on the I-10 Mobile River Bridge project, and of course, the toll project that'll be discussed tonight. And this is it's been a local story for quite a while. It will engage the rest of the state at some degree going forward, whether it's just there at that October 7th meeting or if there's a constitutional amendment or something like that makes its way through. And that's why I bring in our buddy Todd Stacey from the Alabama Daily News to give us a view on this from Montgomery. Hey, man.
John, how's it going?
It's going good. Toll talk has been pretty common down here for months and months and months, but it is, whether through advertising or through, you know, writing in places like aldailynews.com, it's making it around the state.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And it was one of the big talks of the BCA conference down there in Point Clear. That was last weekend, you know. Of course, that Thursday, Governor Ivey released her op-ed that I guess everybody read about, sort of laying out her vision for this toll road. And she backs the Alabama Department of Transportation, at least wants that idea to at least be fleshed out and considered and all this kind of stuff. And I fully expect it to be considered at least by the toll authority when it meets. But yeah, look, during that BCA conference, that's when all the legislature pretty much comes down to Point Clear. Many of the state's CEOs and government affairs types. I mean, it's a wide selection of around the state. And there was a lot of toll road talk.
Yeah,
toll bridge talk.
Okay, but you know what you said there about the governor's op-ed, and you know she supports Aldott's idea and wants it fleshed out. At the same time, if you read the same op-ed I do, it is pretty much with quick flippancy to any other idea. It's here's the idea. This is what we're going for, and the other ideas. It's like doesn't give them the time of day.
Well, the way I read it, I certainly think she is getting behind DOT's mission here and explaining to the best that they can why they've gone the route they've gone. And so I think that's I wasn't surprised by that. That's natural. You know, they're going to go and promote and defend the plan that they have. Now, whether that changes in the future, we'll see. But, they've got no reason really to stop promoting the plan that they're behind right now, at least try to argue in its favor. If it fails, it fails. But I wasn't surprised to see the governor say, yeah, look, here's why the Department of Transportation has put forward the plan that they have. This is why we think it's good. You argue your case in the court of public opinion, and that's what she did.
Yeah, but this is a case that is very, at least down here, contrary to what I hear in public opinion.
Sean, but it was an op-ed. It was an opinion piece.
Sure.
A lot of people have different opinions, and so she argued hers. And so it wasn't a poll.
But it was flippant in its disregard for anybody who would challenge it. I mean, it's even like the idea of, you know, those of us to say, hey, why don't we wait to see if there's more federal funding, if President Trump gets reelected, you know, if there's a bigger infrastructure plan out there. And it's this whole thing, well, we've waited 25 years, so we can't wait any longer. Come on, Todd, man, if we waited 25 years, what is one year to wait here to see if there's more money? I don't think it was a fair assessment of that. I know it's her opinion, but hopefully the governor is being fair about these things.
That's why this process is playing out in public. I'm just saying that you've got a Department of Transportation that has its plan. She is ultimately the head of that, right? She hires the director. You know, that's a member of her cabinet. She decided to get behind that plan and go fully to explain in pretty good detail exactly why they've gone with this plan. I didn't expect it. It would be a mistake if that's the plan you want and that's what you're going to support. It would be a mistake to qualify that and say, we may do some other things, but here's why this is okay. No, you argue your case. And I know that you don't like that, and there's a lot of people that don't like that. But why would, if you're behind something and you believe in it, why would you argue against it? No, you go all in and argue your case. And I thought it was an effective, you know, argument for that plan. I know it's not going to pacify a lot of people. You know, a lot of folks are dead set against this, and we'll see how that goes forward. I do think that you'll see other proposals come about. I think that there'll be a lot of talk of that during the meeting. I understand it because I hear about a lot of it, about how the Department of Transportation has seemed kind of stubborn about this, particularly the Bayway part and the tunnel, the existing tunnel part and stuff like that. I hear about it every day, just like you do. And I think there will be probably some back and forth later on, but she'd be foolish to argue against herself on this.
Yeah, it's, I guess the frustration is that people feel like their voices aren't being heard, right? That the ship's already sailed on this thing. And I would argue that meeting on October 7th, I can sit back and I think, not being super cynical, maybe a little bit of cynicism, but say, hey, are they really going to be listening to these other ideas? I mean, the governor has gone, like you said, I mean, to defend the plan she thinks is right. And I want to point out, this Toll Authority Board has the governor and two others from her office in it. Am I correct? There's three people from the governor's office on this board of 10.
Yeah, well, yeah. That doesn't include the Department of Transportation director.
Okay, then I want to get to that. So then the ONDOT director, right, there's four.
Right.
Okay.
Right. Yeah,
all
right. Yeah, so it's, if...
Okay, so now we've got four.
I would say that she has an advantage there.
You think she's got four on there as she comes in, let alone the political weight that will be put on the others. You've got the only person on that toll advisory board from down our neck of the woods, Senator Albritton. One. I mean, this is like, you know, the lambs to the slaughter here, man. It's like the wolves deciding how to cut up the lamb.
Yeah, I mean, I had that same reaction looking at the list, saying, well, wow, if they really want this, then it's pretty likely to get through. Now, I do think there will be some dissenting votes. You've got other office holders on there, like the Speaker of the House, Lieutenant Governor, you know, people like that. So it's not a sure thing by any means. But look, it's a political process. That board, that authority, there are tons like it throughout the state. It's set up by statute. You know, it is. They set up by statute exactly who can be appointed to that board, and so I'm sure they just went by that. It's not a surprise to me that she got a lot of appointments to that board. That's true of most boards, but it's a political process, and there are political people on that commission. And if you want to be heard, if you want to, you know, change the trajectory of this thing, you start participating in that process. I know a lot of people are doing that, but I think it's a little unfair, Sean, to be mad that the governor did not express your opinion. You know, she's expressing hers.
She knew it was good.
She's going to hear from a lot of people about this, as she should, as everybody should. And I think a lot of different plans or you know, maybe amendments and things like that might be thrown out as we go forward. You got a long time till that meeting happens, but she's starting from square one with what she believes is the right plan. So I guess it's the job of those who don't agree to change your mind.
Sure. Okay. But this is something you and I talked about. There's, okay, citizens who don't agree, that's one thing. And, but they're getting behind it. Obviously down here, South Alabama delegation has heard from their constituents. And this is actually something, man, that I think in my discussions with folks has a bipartisan, it's not even particularly partisan. I mean, there are people on both sides of the aisle that disagree with this toll, and representatives are hearing about this and they're taking it. But at the same time, we could have the whole South Alabama delegation on board with this. And if we decide to get BP moneyed again, we're going to lose this. I mean, it's just the rest of the state. I mean, I know everybody says in South Alabama we have a complex about being picked on, but we've seen it before, man. Just go back to the BP money.
Yeah, maybe you're right, but I don't think it's probably very effective to just give up and say... Well,
I'm not giving up, you know. No, but I'm just saying the reason why people have the kind of the quick aggressive reaction to these things, because there is some past history. That, I think that's what comes from it. So these members, I mean, we're talking to them. I had the legislators in here. They're like, we're all on board. They'll be at this meeting tonight. They're saying no to toll. Everybody running for Senate 2020, even if they've never been to Mobile or Baldwin County, they're against a toll. But the governor is on board with this, supporting this LDOT plan, and that's what she thinks is right.
Yeah, well, I mean, as we were just saying, it's a political process. This meeting happens on October, first week of October. It's a long time. And yeah, I would imagine that a lot of state representatives and senators are hearing from their folks, as they should. So yeah, it's time to make the case, time to have conversations about, look, but my advice would be this: have a cogent argument, and have one that actually makes sense. Mm-hmm. And really think carefully about the messenger of that audience, because sometimes when it comes off as somebody that's just really using it for a political end, like take Jim Ziegler. I mean, he's been incredibly effective in really rousing everybody up about this, but he's admitted, he's considering running for Senate or Congress. That's a political motive. And so I would think very, and of course Dean Young is always running for something and is been, political for a long time. So you gotta be very careful who the messenger is on stuff like this, and maybe put a more professional and serious case out there, not just sort of
The same old player. Yeah, the same old players. I do see what you're saying in that. Hey, we're gonna come back and more with Todd Stacey, Alabama Daily News, aldailynews.com. He'll talk about how to get that great email in your inbox. And top story on his email today: states move to oppose Alabama's census lawsuit. Something we've talked about over time. Now there are states opposing Alabama. He'll give us the details coming up.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
At 12:35, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along on this Thursday, and always fun to talk to my buddy Todd Stacey. Alabama Daily News, the website, aldailynews.com. And that's where, right, that's where the folks go to get signed up for that email blast every morning.
Yeah, that's right. We send a daily news email every morning, and it basically serves as a newspaper in your email inbox. We go down the list of the top stories from here in the state or from Washington, D.C. We also include all the headlines from other outlets around the state and around the country, plus the front pages. I like to see what's on the front page of all the newspapers. So it's easy to sign up. It's free. Just go to aldailynews.com. Up at the top, you'll see subscribe. Just enter your name and your email, and you'll be on the list.
All right, if they opened up that email, they got it this morning, they opened it up. Top story: states move to oppose Alabama's census lawsuit. Man, we have talked about this a bunch over the years on the show here, and now part of this just, I mean, it still baffles me why, what we're actually trying to accomplish with the census, and, why a question like, are you a citizen, should be banned. But 15 states, and you said several cities are intervening. Tell me about this.
Yeah, and we got to be careful, because I made the same mistake. The citizenship question on the census is a different story, and that's something that's been adjudicated and decided, and, Republicans lost that, right?
Which is mind-blowing to me.
I know. Well, this is a separate question, and this is actually, maybe we got a better shot. Maybe Republicans have a better shot at getting this challenged. What Attorney General Steve Marshall and Congressman Mo Brooks and the state of Alabama are arguing is that when we count people for the census, we should only count legal residents of this country.
Well, this goes hand in glove with the the other census question, right? What we're trying to get down to is, what is the purpose of the census, and what are we doing here? Why do you count people at all? Don't you count them for representation?
Right, and with the previous, putting the question on there, we still would have counted them, right? They would have just said, I'm a legal immigrant, yes, but that they still count toward the total for a city, for a state, for a congressional district. And so what the state of Alabama is arguing here is, we just shouldn't count those people. If you're in this country illegally, you should not be counted as the same as a legal resident of this country. And so, and the reason why is They're arguing that states like Alabama that have tough immigration policies, tough immigration laws and tough immigration policies shouldn't be penalized for enforcing the law, whereas states that have lax laws like California, New York, basically sanctuary states, should be rewarded for allowing illegal immigrants in the country and giving them sanctuary, because when they do that, they up their census numbers and they up their chances of gaining congressional seats and getting more federal money. They're arguing basically it's a perverse incentive to allow lawbreaking. And of course, the undercurrent here is that Alabama is at risk of losing a congressional seat just because we haven't grown as much as other states. And they're saying, well, if that growth is illegal immigrants, then they shouldn't be rewarded for that.
How is that even debatable, man? I'm not trying to just, it's not some punditry here. This is not, if the purpose of the census is, if we're trying to decide, and they'll say there's multiple purposes, but let's say the core purpose of the census is to find out how many people live where in this country, so we can apportion representation based on that. It should make no difference any number other than citizens. Only citizens get representation.
Well, you make a great point. So the other side, these states that would stand to gain, or at least would stand to lose out if Alabama won the argument, have officially pushed back on this. And they've asked the court to intervene as a party, saying that, look, people are people whether they're citizens or not. If they exist in this country, if they're here, if they live here, they should have access to the same kind of resources, equally. And so if they argue, if you're an illegal immigrant, it makes no difference. You're here and you're entitled to the same kind of resources, representation, and all that. So
it's insane.
You've got a fundamental difference. Oh yeah. Look, this is the same philosophical difference that Republicans and Democrats have on immigration in general. But it's playing out in a way that really matters to how many members of Congress we have. So this thing could go all the way to the Supreme Court. It could be a very interesting case, because I think a lot of folks would be very, maybe surprised to see a so-called conservative Supreme Court rule that that clearly illegal immigrants are going to be counted the same as citizens in the census. I think most people would be surprised. I'm not saying I would be surprised. I'm saying that would be a shock to the system a little bit.
Let's just go count anybody. Let's count, okay, anybody who's inside the country right now vacationing. Anybody who's if we're going to do that, right, if we're going to base that on illegal immigrants, people that don't have, or even legal immigrants, people that are not citizens, if we're going to use that in the count for apportioning representation, to heck with it. Everybody who's in the country from wherever, they've come in here, they're going to Disney, they're going to where, they're going out to the national park. If they're in the count, we're going to count them too, Todd. We're going to count them too, and they need to give representation to them too.
Yeah, I think Florida would pick up a lot of seats that way.
The Disney Congressional District. I mean, I keep saying it out loud because to me it sounds so silly, and I wonder if I'm missing something. I mean, if you're not a citizen of the country, you don't get representation. Did I miss a week at school or something? Did I fail to understand what was being taught all those years ago?
I don't think so, but clearly a lot of folks do, and that's what they're arguing in the federal court right now is whether or not it's going to be all of the people, regardless of citizenship status, are counted for to see how many people we have in this country, or if it's just going to be the citizens. But going back to the citizenship question on the census form and how the Trump administration lost that battle, my question now would be, how do we determine it? Mm-hmm. Right? If we're not going to have that question
right.
on the census, how would the federal government know to not count somebody as a citizen or that kind of thing? Maybe it's more for the future. Maybe it wouldn't even matter this time. Maybe it's a question that the court should tee up for future census taking that, okay, let's really set some policy here for what's allowed and what's not. That's probably needed anyway. There's been enough back and forth on this issue of immigration. Maybe it's too late for this time. You'd hate to wait another 10 years to for that kind of stuff to flush out. But there's been enough controversy over the immigration portion of the census. I think maybe the court should weigh in here. Maybe it's time for them to get involved.
I want to jump a couple other subjects here with you before we wrap up. And one of them here is, and you talked about it in maybe earlier. Well, I guess it was it yesterday? Medical marijuana, they're talking about it, right? They've convened their group here to... This is what came up. Remember, it came up in session and they didn't vote on it and they said they were going to have a committee or something. Kind of explain what's going on with that.
Yeah, so medical marijuana was one of those kind of surprise issues of the last legislative session. It passed a Senate vote. That was a surprise. Nobody thought in Alabama, you know, we would be moving on that. But it passed the Senate. And this is a bill that would have essentially, you're right, like it would set a commission to basically adjudicate it. To see what kind of THC levels there are, regulate what kind of conditions can be, what kind of conditions you would need to apply for medical marijuana. Of course, I think they listed out like 12 different conditions, and it's the ones you would think. It's terminal cancer or other disease. It's Parkinson's. It's some, and you know, some of these pain diseases and neurological diseases. But that bill that would have legalized the medical marijuana failed in the House. It hit a big roadblock in the House in the Health Committee there. And so what they ended up doing was having a compromise that says, okay, let's hold our horses here. Let's go and set up basically the same commission, but no law. So that commission is going to come up with recommendations to look at other states to see, okay, how did states get it right and how did states get it wrong? Plenty of states around the country have legalized medical marijuana, so they wanted to see what the kind of the best practices are. So that commission has met for the first time. They met this week, and they didn't recommend anything. They didn't really get down into the weeds of policy. It was really just an organizational time. But now at least they're meeting. Now at least they're going over things. They're supposed to report something to the legislature, some kind of report on a proposed legislation by December. So look, I mean, I know that seems like a long way away. It's really not. And that means that it's pretty likely that the legislature is going to be considering some kind of medical marijuana bill this session.
And I want to point this out. Let me give you a little preface that I actually think if you can have medical marijuana and help somebody with a condition and it's medicine, I'm actually a proponent of it. So I put that on the books, and then I'm going to go back and say, but you're telling me we're going to pass a medical marijuana law before a lottery in the state of Alabama, Todd?
Well, I guess you'd say we could pass a medical marijuana bill before we pass a lot of laws in Alabama. But, it all depends sometimes on the advocates you have. Tim Melson, he's a state senator from up in Florence. He's a physician himself, and he does a lot of pharmaceutical research. And I got to tell you, he did a really effective job of bringing this bill and explaining it to folks who probably, like you said, probably wouldn't be, you wouldn't think they would be advocates of something like this. But when he explains it and explains who the patients are that need this, how they could, you know, maybe have a more effective and less expensive treatment option through medical marijuana than, say, opioids or other, you know, big heavy drugs, it kind of makes sense. And when you hear,
oh, I'm actually
some of the
a proponent.
Come in. I know. I'm just saying he did it. He did a really good job of selling a lot of folks on this. So, like I said, sometimes it comes down to who's advocating your case.
Good point.
And he did a very good job.
Excellent. All right. Remind folks once again, if they're for some reason not getting your email in their inbox, how do they remedy that?
It's really easy. Just go to aldailynews.com. Click subscribe at the very top. You'll be on the list. If you just enter your name and your email, it's free, easy, and I hope you'll join us as subscribers as a part of Alabama Daily News. And thanks for having me on, Sean.
Always a pleasure, man. Todd Stacey, and we're coming right back, taking your calls and text at 343-0106.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
1251 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile Thursday. Not as bad, not exactly chilly or anything out there, but it's only a heat index of 113 today. So way less than the 121 we had the other day, 94 degree actual temperature. And so a little bit drier air. I mean, no, it's not refreshing outside. It's just not as hot. All right, we'll read through some text here, and we'll take some calls. Let's see. A texter says, how about U.S. citizens get equal representation in any other country? Exactly. There's some people that may do that through some kind of xenophobic question or something. With me, there's no xenophobia in it. It's just matter of fact. If we're apportioning representation based on census data, then you have to find out how many people are citizens so you can apportion representation based on citizenry. This is for everybody, all citizens. So that, there's no other reason to do it if you're not finding out how many people are legal citizens. I keep thinking, I said, well, there's some part of this that I've read it a couple times. I said, I'm missing something. There's a nuance I'm missing. I don't completely understand the story. I've been doing it for a year and a half. No, I understand the story. I just do not understand the opposition to it. I really don't get it. I don't even know how it's I get how it's been turned into a partisan issue and a political issue, but not elected officials, but honest people that are like sitting down having coffee that have two political sides. You have conservative, liberal, Democrat, Republican, whomever sit down. I think you'd agree that, hey, if the purpose is to figure out how many citizens there are and apportion representation, it should be the counting of legal citizens. Anderson asks, Sean, on the Bridge Project, do we actually have a choice between all or nothing? It's the way it seems to me. It's the way it's been framed to me. That's what we're trying to work out tonight at the meeting and going forward. I mean, there's some people that are just opposed to anything. I'm not one of those people. I like the idea of the bridge. I think the bridge is a good project. I think we need a bridge. I'm forward and moving on with infrastructure work around here. At the same time, it's either kind of all or nothing, Anderson. You're right. I mean, that's the choices we're given. It's like either you support the deal as laid out or you oppose bridge. This is silly. Let's see, this one from Danny. Danny says, why are politicians allowing two Alabama counties to be responsible for paying for a federal interstate? Well, they'll argue. I'm with you in spirit, Danny, but somebody will argue and say, because it'll be people from all these other states coming through here and people from elsewhere in the state. Although, what was the stat that Representative Stringer said the other day? I think their estimates are 65%. Of the traffic is local, 35% from out of the area. Number two on the list, maybe some of the politician staff should look for loopholes in the federal regulation that's requiring the Bayway to be raised. Danny, I wish I could. There's something getting ready to come out. I'm not allowed to. There's something that's going to come out on that. Okay? I'll just put it there. All right, from Danny to Dan. Dan says, dude. What's up, dude? I like that. You could always refer to me as dude on the text line. I actually like that. Dude, he said, Todd is out of line. The governor should not be allowed an opinion on this issue. She is in a place of power, and her opinion is to be the correct opinion. It is in the most objective and quantifiable way possible. For her to just state an opinion when it's clearly uneducated and clearly shows that she is either lazy and failing to educate herself on the issue, has something to gain from the toll proposal, or is power-hungry or a power-hungry leftist that believes bigger government is better government and has no place in promoting herself as anything otherwise. All right. People are getting on Todd. It's good for Todd to be. It's good to have people disagree. One sword sharpens the other. I mean, read the Bible. I do not run away from people that bring he's got a fair argument that's different than my argument and a lot of y'all's arguments, but that's good. It's good to have that. Echo chamber all the time is not healthy. All right. Okay, we'll go to the phones here in a second. And I know there's more text coming in. And I want to get to that. Well, I might have to get to the Fox News poll coming up next hour. Plus the animal story. If you have service animals and you've just claimed that that's your service animal, the state of Alabama is coming after you. If you have can we call them illegal service animal? Undocumented service animal? They're coming after you, but we'll get to the story in a second. Let's go to Webb in Daphne next. Hey, Webb.
Hello.
Hey, man.
How you doing today?
I'm all right. How are you?
Good, good. I just had an opinion. I mean, we always talk of politics, and we've got to follow this procedure, this governor, whatever. Why can't we as the people decide how to pay for this bridge, maybe by just something that we use every day here in the South, like barbecue sauce? Why don't we just put a penny a jar on barbecue sauce?
A barbecue sauce.
Give out a free bottle at the grand opening of the bridge or something. I think we pay for it pretty quick.
Barbecue sauce excise tax. So,
just call it the saucy fee or the saucy bridge. And another idea, let's just put an arch over by where Ed's Seafood Shack is. Put an arch over there, and why not build a casino? Everybody here, I don't care if the Baptist, Methodist, Catholic, they're going to Biloxi or they're buying a lotto in Florida. So, let's just put a casino on the causeway, pay for the bridge. Real simple.
Except that's something you have to get the legislature to change the law to
get the saucy tax going.
There you go.
I'm
about to say you have a better chance. There you go. You have a lot better chance with your barbecue tax than you do with getting our legislature. I mean, we couldn't get, mind you, let me point out, they couldn't agree on the easiest, the layup, the chip putt here. They couldn't agree on the lottery. So if you think they're going to be doing a full casino anytime soon. But your barbecue sauce tax, you know, Webb, that leads me to let you know that there'd be underground barbecue sauce shiners. Would you be moonshiners? What would you call somebody's make? At that point, the revenue man would be looking for me because I make my own sauce. And I guess they'd have a little thing, a little register, how much, you know, when you go through and they check you out at the, you know, like at Rouse's and they're checking me out and they'll say, I got to flag him. He's bought a bunch of brown sugar this month and look how much ketchup he's bought. I'd tell you the other ingredients of my sauce, but it'd be a giveaway. I don't want to do that. Maybe I'll post that online. Hey, coming back, hour number two of Midday Mobile. Love to hear from you at 343-0106, 343-0106. A barbecue sauce tax, right?